Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would give us the guidance and the strength of your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be with you. It's my privilege to be here in 2011. And so it's good to be here in beautiful Charleston in this beautiful church once again. May I share with you this morning some thoughts from the gospel which we have just read together. There is a curious detail in this chapter in which the woman of Samaritan is said to have left her water pot, and then gone into the village and spoke to the Samaritan people and said, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did." This was a special moment, and she seized it. I like to think of it as the eternal intersecting with the temporal. There are some moments like that in life, aren't there? When God is ready to pour his love into our hearts. And it's important for us to recognise those moments and not to let them pass. All this occurred beside a very deep well located just outside the town of Nablus in the West Bank in Palestine. The well is still there. It is an authentic site. Some years ago, the Greek Christians built a church over the well, which now lies in the basement of the church, and they did that, I assume, to preserve it. It's been my privilege to visit that well on quite a number of occasions. Jesus is seated beside the well. He and his disciples had been in Jerusalem, and they were returning to Galilee up the Jordan Valley. But their path was blocked. And so Jesus and his companions climbed the escarpment from the Jordan Valley up to the high country of Samaria. It is now midday, and Jesus is weary and thirsty, seated beside the well, for we assume he has no bucket or utensil to draw water from the well. A woman arrived with her water pot. I guess it is a symbol of her daily routine. She would come, draw water, fill her water pot, take it home for cooking and cleaning and drinking. We infer that she was somehow ostracized, for why would she be there in the middle of the day, in the heat of the day? Other women would be there early, we assume. Jesus asks her for water. She had the bucket. She is surprised because, as the text says, Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. An alternative translation of those words is, Jews do not share the same utensil with Samaritans, will not drink from the same cup, will not share the same plate. That was the level of hostility between those two races at that time. So she is surprised. He says to her, surprisingly, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew who was speaking to you, you would have asked and he would have given you living water. The well is central to this narrative in the Gospel of John. the well. It appears in all but one of the scenes of the narrative. The well is a symbol for her thirst for God. The old Samaritan religion had left her thirsty for an eternal relationship with the living God. Centuries before, the people of the Northern Kingdom, the so-called Samaritans at that time, had been taken into exile, and the Assyrians and other big powers had imported other people. So that by the time of Jesus, the Samaritan people had become thoroughly corrupted in respect of their religion. Understandably, she did not understand, and so she asks, "Are you greater than our father, Jacob, who gave us the well?" He replies again in rather mystifying terms, "The water that I will give you, the living water, will become a spring within you, out of which water for eternal life will bubble up and sustain you through this life into the next." Again, understandably, she is confused. So the conversation at that point takes another direction. He says, "Go call your husband." She, "I have no husband." He, "You have had five." Now, the interesting thing here is that the Greek word for husband and man are the same. Same Greek word, man and husband. So he could be saying to her, "You have had five men, and the one you have now is yet another." She's rather startled at this, and she says, "I see you are a prophet. You understand things." And so she diverts the conversation by a bit of theological discourse. And she says, "You Jews worship in Jerusalem. We worship here, Mount Gerizim." Matter of fact, if you've been to that part of the world, you will know that the Samaritan community is still there on Mount Gerizim. They still have a little temple there, and they still have a high priest there, just a few hundred of them left. He then says, "The hour is coming when it's not a matter of where you worship, whether Jerusalem or Mount Gerizim. It's not a matter of a sacred place anymore. Those who worship God worship him in spirit and in truth wherever they are." His reference to the hour is coming, she picks up by saying, "I know that the Messiah is coming." And then we have this absolutely remarkable moment. He says, "I who speak to you am he. I who speak to you am he." It is at this moment that we have this curious, otherwise gratuitous reference. She left her water pot. She left her water pot and went into the village and told the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did." In the Gospel of John, faith often arises from a miracle. Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, who was very interested in the miracles of Jesus. Jesus spoke to the man who'd been invalided for many years, healed him, spoke to him about the truth of God. Jesus healed the blind man, the man blind from birth, and spoke to him about what faith in God meant. But there is no miracle in this story about Jesus and the woman, except that he knew all about her. He told her everything she ever did. And so she goes into the village excitedly and tells the Samaritans, "Come, see a man." Do you know what that does? That makes her the first evangelist. A woman, the first evangelist. And then we come to the end of the gospel, and there is a second woman, Mary of Magdala. Jesus said to her, "Go and tell the disciples that you have seen the resurrected Christ." So Mary of Magdala is, as she is often called, apostle to the apostles. I think it is quite remarkable that the Gospel of John places such a focus on the ministry of those two women, the unnamed woman of Samaria and Mary of Magdala. So that well is a symbol of the temporal, the mundane, the daily, the ordinary. But in that moment when the eternal has intersected with the temporal, Jesus touched her life and spoke to her about living water. And she seized the moment. And when such moments come to you and me, we do well to imitate her determination to grab hold of a moment when God is speaking to us. So important is that. John chapters 2, 3 and 4 have it in common that they introduce an idea of radical newness. In John chapter 2, Jesus changes the water which had been used for cleansing and spiritual purification into wine. The wine of the crucified and resurrected Jesus, which is God's way of cleansing us. This is not just there as a piece of history to tell us what happened. It is written for us all to understand and appreciate. In the same chapter, he expels the traders from the temple, thereby symbolizing the end of the old temple and a new temple, which is Jesus himself and the people like us who gather in his name. That is not just a piece of ancient history. It is a truth from God for us all. He told Nicodemus that he could be spiritually reborn on a one-on-one basis to know the living God. Again, that is not a piece of history, merely something in the past to inform our minds. It is spiritually there for us all to learn from and lay hold of. And so in the case of the woman of Samaria to whom Jesus promised living water, that again is not simply a piece of history, but is written for you and me to understand and apprehend and seize. It is there for us all. So John chapter 4 is about thirst. Jesus thirsts for water. Hers for living water. But also his thirst for her, that she would have living water and come to know the living God. The theme of thirst. In his last moments, as our Lord was dying on the cross, he said, "I thirst." He was thirsty for water. But he was also, in that dying moment, thirsting for souls. Thirsting for someone like that woman. Thirsting for someone like you and me. So, dear brothers and sisters, let us learn from this poor, lonely, broken woman to whom Jesus offered living water, the blessings of the Holy Spirit, the inner presence of God. She seized the moment. She left the water pot behind. She went and told people, "Come see a man." Brothers and sisters, seize the moment. This is the message of the gospel. Amen.